Hello and welcome to the Astana International Financial Center's Legal Tech Podcast with your host, Mark Beer. It is a great pleasure to welcome today somebody who, albeit still so youthful in looks, has achieved so much in life. I'm talking today to David Tuganov, who started, in a sense, already being identified as one of the leading thinkers in Kazakhstan, being accepted into the Bolashak program, then returned to Kazakhstan, where he worked for the state telecom company. He moved on to become a director general within the Sovereign Wealth Fund and has now taken the concept of digital transformation further into societal transformation, or as he calls it, transformation. David, it's a great pleasure to welcome you today.
Yeah, thanks, Mark. It's a pleasure.
And tell me, in your journey, which is just an extraordinary and wonderful journey, tell me, what have been the highlights and where what's led you to where you are today?
Yeah, I started as a camp leader when I was 16. Then I started to be an IT guy for more than 10 years. I successfully completed digital transformation. I enrolled in business transformation. And last 3 years, I concentrated in, as you call it, like social transformation. And we call it Transformation. Yeah, it's a program. It's initiative, it's public, it's open, and it goes beyond on just for one country. So we had a plans to make kind of rollout. But briefly, what does it mean and what's going on currently in Kazakhstan? Last year, we founded an innovation lab at Astana Financial Center. We had a goal to transform people mindsets by bringing to Kazakhstan a skill of future called design thinking. And this term was completely new in not only in Kazakhstan, but for Central Asia itself. Only 7 or 8 years ago, the design method, design thinking method came to Russia, thanks to Sberbank, Mr. Rev, who started the journey of kind of evangelizing. And since that, it was very interesting to observe how this method was injected to bank sector, telecom sector in Russia. And last year, we started to be kind of this evangelist guy, guys and team who started this journey. And we didn't actually have an idea that we will go beyond just corporate sector, because idea was to have a consulting agency, international consulting agency, who will sell consulting and maybe a little bit education for enterprise kind of size companies. But during the journey, we started to get inquiries from government and then from teachers and kids. And at the end, last year, we figure out actually we have three streams. The first stream is government, second business, and third one is social kind of streams. And what's going on currently? The term design thinking is in Russian interpretation a little bit is confusing. Because everyone is thinking about design, like something to paint, you know, or model. And it is the first mental problems I think we have here trying to educate and provide kind of awareness. But we figure out the best way how to explain to stakeholders, makers, explain human-centric approach. And this kind of term, human-centric, in Russian called человекоцентричность, it's very, by itself, it has a meaning. And we started with a government party called Nur Otan. We play with them a couple times and figure out it's actually useful to bring to kind of top management of government, any government body, understanding what actually real people needs kind of they are facing. In Kazakhstan, historically, in government and quasi-government sectors, there's kind of top-down approach. When you have very nice program for development of country or industry program, but always there is a risk and of failure or delivery. And human-centric approach in design thinking as a method helps, is and also currently helping to minimize these risks. Why? First of all, if we're talking about kind of government to citizens or business to citizen, we open eyes to government and companies and entrepreneurs or founders. Actually, maybe your product you have or your law or concept you have right now, maybe will not fit people's needs and fit people's desires. But what will happen if you will figure out what people really needs, what people there cares, and what actually they pains, list of pains they have right now. And this method perfectly helps to understand. The reason why design thinking is kind of the best, one of the best methods to government and businesses and social entities. The reason is because of very important kind of stage or I'll say methods or principles called empathy. When you are understanding what people wants, but people needs. For instance, I can describe a couple cases in order to better understand how it works. Last 3 years in Kazakhstan was very hot topics about smart cities. And if you will talk with any of district mayors, they will describe your smart city kind of digital city. So you put cameras, surveillance, on sensors, and you're done. So you have a smart city. You have smart ticketing. You have smart schools, entrance. That's it. But in reality, smart city in some countries, it's more than digital. It's about convenience, convenience for citizens, convenience for business, convenience for tourists. And what we started to help to Turkestan district to transform mindset, it's not kind of camera on the street, it's not Sergek. Many of Kazakhstan citizens are familiar, with this penalty. It's more about how to construct citizen services in order to be proactive, in order to provide better services from city to citizen. And how to do it? First of all, go out of the ministry or go out of administration office, go to the fields, in brackets, yeah? Go and observe people life, talk with them, ask questions, what they want, what they don't want, what wishes they have, what dreams they have. And the case of Turkestan is very fantastic that actually, I think the first time in history, officials of district and city, they went to talk and create a prototypes how to construct better services. Yeah, they on half of the journey. We should follow and watch how of implementation this kind of smart convenient city for stakeholders. And I think it should be a very kind of reference model for any kind of convenient and smart city for Kazakhstan and Central Asia. So it's about kind of government approach. It's like to ask people. Second example I can provide. It's hard case. It's running right now. It's a common project between administration of president, United Nations UNDP, and World Bank. Three programs right now are active. The first one called New Concept of Government Management, New Concept of Quasi-Government Management, and New Concept of Local Self-Management, where in like rural areas, local mayors or head they're going to be elected. Yeah, so three kind of projects, and we participate as a independent consultants or experts whose goal to bring human-centric approach. So what we did so far, we started first of all to describe who is the stakeholders of these new kind of laws. Yeah, because it can be risk, legal risk. Yeah, it's legal podcast. Yeah. So if you will create a law, yeah, and on delivery you will figure out actually one team was designed the law, and second political team will execute it, and actually as a result there is a third party called citizens what they will get at the end. So trick here the method identifies the stakeholders on all kind of journey from design to implementation. And involve them in design process of this law. Ask them. For instance, there is the project number three for self-management here in rural areas. We will go to these rural villages and we'll ask and we'll talk and provide design thinking sessions with the inhabitants, the citizens, and we'll ask, tell us what is ideal picture of mayor. Tell us your problems, local one. Tell us, depict on stickers and provide us ideas what the best village from your point of view. And here's the magic will happen, yeah, because it's empathy. You are putting on them like kind of shoes and you see problems, wishes, and like kind of picture of life specifically by the eyes. And this method, this deep down to their real life, yeah, will help us to understand actually priorities. And what you're gonna do next, bring these priorities and kind of put them at the core. And the rest, yeah, piece of paper should be like wrapped up around people wishes, people desire. The third area called social, it's much more, I think it's very interesting how society is evolving. Yeah, we started from kids. Actually, it was a commercial project. I had to say how we started to educate kids, teenagers and teachers. We had a commercial project for construction, for smart apartments. And we know the fact that actually the older you become, the less creative you become. Yeah, that's we try to make experiment both teenagers to most bright ideas for smart apartments. So it was a very test and experimental workshop. That result was very fantastic. They create smart bathroom with the sensors, with voice control, with smart mirror and a lot of gadgets, and they depict and describe a lot of scenarios. And starting from this experiment session with the kids, we understood, okay, let's work more with kids and test the idea. Can we expand? What will happen in a country if design thinking will be implemented in a school or education system? That's why we started to play and test with educators, with teachers of mid school and professors of universities. And results was also very fantastic. Yeah, we cover a couple schools like by turnkey solution, like we experiment with the teachers, like teacher to teacher. Like for instance, you are brainstorming about new quarter, new methods. So teachers can use design thinking method to design new project for teachers, like from methodology perspective. Second one, teachers to kids, to students, to pupils, how to make sure that new chapter or new assignment was very interesting to consume, to train. Yeah, not boring, not learning text, but provide some creativity approach, and was really fantastic. The third method, okay, teachers and parents. So how it was before, parents sitting at class, like before coronavirus, yeah, case when it migrated to Zoom, parents meetings. And the teacher is kind of explaining in front of dozens of parents problems they have, success they have, et cetera, et cetera. But since they implement design thinking, the teacher become a facilitator. They ask parents, what problems you have, your personal one? What ideas you have to solve this problem? So they kind of involve parents. And so we experiment a lot with parents, with teachers, with kids, and that's crystallize our vision. We wanna put our transformation concept not only for government, we wanna cover education system. Yeah. So, and our goal is to train 20,000 people within 3 years. So to 1.5 year we have remain, and currently we cover 7,000 of people. So for the next 2 years, we have to cover at least 13 or 15 people. How? We want to create online program for teachers. We call design thinking for educators, or creative education, where not only design thinking, but there is plenty other methods on the planet that not exist in a country. For instance, service design for educators, and also some others. So we want to make sure that our teachers and educators has access, like free of charge as much as possible, in inconvenient way. It should be in Russian, it should be in Kazakh, it should be consist of all levels of perception, including kinesthetic experience. So briefly, it's what we're doing right now. As mentioned, it's not only digital transformation. Digital itself is an element, is just a tool. Yeah. Since I have experience, but it's more about how to change mindset. And I like the expression of Leo Tolstoy, who said, you know, everyone want to change the world, but not everyone want to change himself. That's why we believe methods like design thinking, human-centered, will help to understand that, first of all, you transform yourself, then methods help you transform your team, then team transform companies, organization, and companies and organizations change a country or ecosystem. So this sequence, I think, reflects individual can make impact, significant impact. And so by using very affordable and very simple tools, and I always tell to on workshops and consulting projects, the only one reason you will love design thinking, because it has a fun. It's not boring. It's consulting or changing mindset with a joy, with a smile. When you can draw, you can stick, you can awake a kid inside you. I think it's crucial, and this is how actually other international companies are succeeding, like Apple, General Electric, you know, like Procter & Gamble, Coca-Cola, McDonald's. They don't kill kids inside. I think it's a key fundamental to understand. Less pathos, less papers, less words. Do action. And what we're always trying to say and even explain to government officials, failure is good. You should do fails as much as possible, but on early stage, on design. Yeah. And the best way to do it is change mindset. And this part, I think, is the most difficult one, changing mindset. There is even science, discipline called change management. I think it's most difficult science, most difficult subject that I ever studied, not even studied, implemented. because people are so different. Where when we went to south of Kazakhstan, our message didn't work. In Astana, it was working. In Turkestan, it's not. Why? In one country, how possible? The answer is institute a family different. Average family in Turkestan has 5 kids. In Astana, in Karaganda, in central and north part, 2 maximum, in most cases, yeah? Behavior is different. So, but the patterns are different, thinking are different. As a result, actions are different. And his answer why centralized programs, initiatives are not working in a country way, because people are different.
I want to pick up, if I may, a couple of the things that you've raised, particularly around citizen centricity or people centricity or human centricity, this concept of design around the citizen and how significant that is, and the fact that what you're working on is transformative. It's transformative, and as you say, you're going to educate 20,000 kids in thinking differently, in engaging their inner ability to think outside the box and to design a future for themselves. And I can see how school kids and university students would be absolutely fantastic at that. But how do you persuade government officials? And the reason I ask about government officials is, from my own experience, there is a recruitment policy for the government, which is often about maintaining stability, maintaining the status quo, not doing anything which might harm or shock the nation. And therefore, what builds up over time can be a sense that what happens in the capital is what's best for the people, instead of what the people say is best for the people is best for the people. So if you take on a citizen-centric approach, which I think is absolutely the right approach, it's the right approach in drafting laws, it's the right approach in establishing courts, it focuses on the fact that government is a service. So how do you persuade governments and legislators and judiciaries that they need to think differently, they need to have a people-centric mindset, that they need to be asking citizens who are effectively their customers, what do you want from us? What is quality? What can we deliver to make your life better? What do you need? That word need that you said, what do you need from us? How do you persuade them that that transformative approach to decision-making, lawmaking, is the right approach?
So actually, what we're doing right now, there is a midterm, short-term, midterm, and long-term. So currently, we are creating center of excellence of Academy of Government Management. So this year, we already provided 4 groups of government officials from different levels. In September, together with Nazarbayev University JSPP, Graduate School of Public Policy, created a new model program called Management of New Formation. And design thinking and human-centric approach was the first model in order new government management should start to attract this new skill. So basically, there is an approach, official one, to provide trainings. Yeah, and there is an entity that will provide thousands of people, thousands of government officials, new kind of skills. But it will not change the shape or create this transformation scope unless society itself will implement design thinking for themselves. For instance, there's a last week, it was a social project for fund called I Teach Me. The fund works with the people with disabilities. Yeah. And what they did, they provided trainings for artificial intelligence, copywriting, new media design, UX, all this story, trying to make sure that even people with disabilities, they have ability to work in new digital area. And design thinking was a part of it, like trying to understand, guys, you can create startups, you can create successful business. Yeah. And imagine if kind of cases would be like dozens, thousands in the country when like public funds, non-commercial organizations, when people itself, like even kid can create startup. And actually we prove it. Last year it was experiment with another public fund. Yeah, when we grab kids and we gave them among design thinking, marketing, sales, customer relationship and investment relationship, and they created startups. Imagine in when like 15 years group of teenagers, they created startup of nightclubs for teenagers, like a real nightclubs. Can you imagine? It was very successful project before COVID-19. But the magic happened. Not of this startup. Yeah, the magic happened when this group of teenagers wrote us, guys, we have another bright idea. Can you mentor us? What we did? We just gave them new skills of design thinking that you can create startup when you will figure out the pains. Yeah, what pains they figure out? Kids has teenagers has a pain in a country, in a city. We are not kids, but we are not yet adults. And there is a kind of in medium, yeah, of is a path, life path. They do not have a supply, so they created this supply, and yeah, it was blue ocean for them. So but answering your question about officials and human centric approach, yeah. First of all, trainings of government officials. Second one is the trainings citizens. So, and they should connect, yeah, because in this way, when we're trying to communicate with the government officials, you have office hours when citizen can come and talk. But in our country, people don't come and discuss, oh, mayor, I have a bright idea of how to make a city much more cleaner. They come in for with the kind of complaint,
yeah.
Not with the ideas. But if you do a little bit tuning of the process, you can announce, guys, every Friday we have the city accelerator when you can come and provide ideas. Let's form groups, and we have streams. We have streams. We have stream for education. We have stream for ecology. And we have stream for safety and these kind of groups. You can join at any time. So it's working entire year. And every week we are doing prototype and testing. Can you imagine? Yeah. So a little bit tuning of the process, how to interact with the citizens, and results will be different. People will not come only for complaints, but also will come for ideas. And moreover, they're going to be first kind of testers. Yeah, let's call it alpha testers, beta testers. And this is a loyalty. Yeah, and that's what I call hearing or listening government, not on paper, but on action. Yeah. And the same example, the same principle you can cascade and enroll in different government entities. You can provide the same for ministries. For instance, yeah, when we started this new model together with Academy of Government Management, the first model started with 50 officials, 25 deputy of ministers, 25 deputy of mayors. Yeah, 5 days of intense trainings. Day three, they did live interview via Zoom with real citizens. It was multi-kids mummies, investors, farmers, yeah, and businessmen. So before interview, these government officials, government employees, they formulate problems their target audience potentially might have, and solutions that government can address. But after interview, when actually they listen real citizens, yeah, many groups change their problem statement because the problems they depict before interview that didn't exist. Yeah, and this small trick that just which says go and ask people what they want, listen their stories. In these stories you can observe their kind of problems, needs, but also they can tell you what kind of, we call it, what they love. Yeah, and when you hear what they love, to, especially for the business, we're telling to this business, you can create wow service. So we can, you can go beyond the classical goods and services, and that's why economy of relationship, yeah, and kind of economy of kind of wow effects. But the same for the business. When you will hear what people dream of, yeah, their wishes, you can create. That's it, and you don't need to create a ministry of happiness like Emirates did or some other countries. You don't need this ministry because every minister, every deputy, every even expert will know what real people need. Yeah, there's a paradox of the called Gennadin. In Wikipedia, if you will type group paradox, you will find an article dedicated to Mr. Kennedy. In the Caribbean crisis, he specifically ignores, he doesn't participate on meetings when politicians and generals were struggling start to war with the Soviet Union or not. And Kennedy he understands that by just his presence on these meetings can shift, you know, decisions. That's why we explain to government officials, if you're a minister, minimize this group paradox. Make sure that actually even your experts can announce even stupid ideas, because maybe it will be stupid ideas. Yeah. So eliminate hierarchy of negotiations, brainstorms, because design thinking, it's also about kind of brainstorms of ideas. Nevertheless, a good, bad, stupid or not, or creative, you will never know how your stupid idea can convert to very bright ideas. And after these trainings with the vice ministers and the deputies, the same week I got a request from a couple of ministries. David, we are launching this program which involves citizens. And after the course, we understood that we already have risk because we didn't ask them will they use this government product or not. Thank you very much that you open our eyes. So that's why, yeah, 5 days of intense training. I believe if 10% of these vice ministers will adopt thinking and principle of human-centric approach, life in the country will become much more happier. Yeah. And human capital, what we're doing right now, we're doing human capital transformation by adopting new skills. Yeah, you can invest billions of dollars in computers, hardware, software, but if you will not change people's mindset, how to consume it wisely, yeah, the result would be appropriate. And I think it was the last, a couple of weeks ago, it was Nobel Fest Festival, and was a session dedicated to human capital. I was moderator, but one of speakers provide statistics about how country invest in education in terms of GDP. It was about 3% or something. And when according to benchmark, we should spend twice as much as we can. So what does it mean? It means that we have to train, first of all, government officials for new methods, but not only train by showing them slides. Skills, what they have to, I'd say, obtain. Because if you're scrolling slides, because I'm kind of trainer, yeah, at some universities, I do not provide slides. And we try, and when we created this program of government, Academy of Government Management, we stated initially, our goal not to provide knowledge. Our goal provide knowledge plus skills to implement this knowledge. And this, I think, fundamental key for success of education. You have to provide project-based learning, yeah, for government. But I always remember, will remember the phrase that one of teacher that we trained told us. He said, David, you should fight for the teachers. You should make all efforts that Minister of Education will inject design thinking right now. I said, why? He said, you mentioned that you're working with the government and you spend a lot of time with them. But if you will invest in Kazakhstan right now in education systems, by 2037, our kids will manage the country. Yeah, so investing in these kind of social projects, specifically for schools, for like even kindergartens, yeah, we invest in 2037, because the next president right now studying right now in Zoom via Zoom or via Khabar remotely, yeah. And I remember these words of this teacher, and I think investing in the education system is kind of long-term investment, but trying to change mindset of government officials, it's trying to do something right now. And I'm not idealist. I'm judging. Yeah, I'm judging. How to say? More natural. Not pessimistic. Not other way. Even 10% of efforts, if they will succeed, I think it's gonna be big. Not non-linear effect. Can kind of be exponential effect. Because it works. I mean, it's not rocket science. We observed how United States, Asia, they implemented these methods, human-centric approach, yeah, and the rocket. And I think it's most underweighted, underestimated skill that we should adopt yesterday, yeah. But what we have to do, it we have now and we have tomorrow.
That's fantastic. Thank you very much, David. It's been an absolute pleasure chatting with you. I love the fact that you're committed to today's generation and tomorrow's generation, that you're committed to education, that you're looking to transform a nation, and I love that phrase, that the citizen and the people and the human is at the heart of everything that you do, and that design thinking is a way to bring greater well-being and happiness to society and the world at large. So thank you very much indeed. It's been an inspiring conversation. I'd like to thank you for sharing your knowledge and your experience, and I wish you every success going forward.
This podcast is being produced by the Astana International Financial Center and moderated by the chairman of the AIFC Law Tech Advisory Council, Mark Beer. Thank you very much for listening. If you would like to hear more information on the Astana International Financial Center's Law Tech Advisory Council, please follow us on LinkedIn.